The Couple Next Door, written by Peg Lynch and starring Peg Lynch and Alan Bunce.
I thought you went upstairs.
I did. I'm tired. I'm going to take a bath and go to bed early. Came down to get something to read in the bathtub.
Oh, well, may I suggest that before you do that, you go in your den and sit down and write that letter of recommendation for Buddy.
Oh!
Now, that was nearly 3 weeks ago. Your sister was over here asking you for that.
Well, I...
She wanted it that day. Now, you were going to sit right down, do it the next day, and mail it to her.
I know. I did sit down and try to do it. How the heck can you write a letter of recommendation about a kid that's got no ambition to do anything?
Well, he's your own nephew. Surely you can make up something.
I suppose I'll have to. Well, I'll do it tomorrow.
They may be here tomorrow.
Who?
Dorothy and Buddy. She called today. That's how I knew you hadn't written the letter.
Oh? Was she mad?
She was miffed. Let's put it that way. You know your sister. Her feelings were hurt. I said I'd speak to you tonight.
Oh, well, look,
She said not to mail the letter now. She'd get it when they came over. She has something else she wants to talk to you about, too.
What now?
I don't know. Something else about Buddy. Some new problem, I guess.
Well, what?
I don't know. You know your sister. How she is on the telephone, always so mysterious. As though we were on a party line with 50 people and she had some state secret. I told her to come for dinner now and we would plan on them. You know.
Yeah, well, I guess I better sit down and write that letter of recommendation now, so I'll have it ready.
Well, I would, dear.
You know, Buddy probably won't take a job if he gets offered one.
Don't worry about that. Just write the letter now.
Well, I don't know what to say.
Well,
look, Buddy isn't interested in anything, so far as I can figure out, except driving the car and listening to rock and roll.
Dear.
All right. I'll do the best I can, darling.
Time out for a question. It's, who is Ron Cochran? Answer, he's the genial host weekday evenings of the informative program on the CBS radio network known as Answer Please. If you'd like to know Mr. Cochran's age, weight, general appearance, likes and dislikes, we suggest you write the program. That's the main idea of the show. Anything puzzling you might make a good question for Ron to answer on the air. And if nothing's puzzling you, learn what's puzzling others by listening Monday through Friday to Answer Please. And on those same evenings, CBS Radio provides another popular service for people interested in latest market trends on business news. Alan Jackson spotlights the big moves on the big board, reads the handwriting of the bears, bulls, and foxes of finance. Monday through Friday for a timely evening rundown on the business news, check CBS Radio's Alan Jackson. Another great service only a network can provide, and only CBS Radio does provide, is Alan Jackson with the business news.
My, certainly quiet around here.
Oh, hello, Aunt Effie. What in the world have you been doing out in the kitchen all evening?
Well, I made some cinnamon rolls for breakfast tomorrow, and then while I was in the mood, I just stirred up some of my icebox cookies.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I was reading, and then I decided to figure out how much money I have now toward my trip to Europe.
I see the door to the den is closed. Are we working on the great American novel tonight?
No. In fact, he was tired. He was going to bed, but I reminded him he hadn't written that letter of recommendation Dorothy wanted for Buddy.
Oh, yes.
Must be having a time. He's been in there an hour, trying to say something nice about Buddy.
Mm-hmm. Well, it must be hard. Of course, I think it's Dorothy's own fault, the way she's raised the boy. Spoiled him all his life. Now she wonders why she's having trouble.
Yes, well, heck with Dorothy and Buddy. I got problems of my own. I don't think I'm going to Europe.
Oh, now, by July?
Even by July, and I just won't have enough money.
Well, how much have you got?
Well, I had my original $536.
Well, that you have.
I know, but I need at least $1,000 more, at least. Or more, if he's going to be over there on business for 6 weeks, I'll need at least $1,500.
Well, that's all I can afford to take out of my savings. If it costs more than that, we'll have to fly home and leave him over there.
Yes, but you've got it. I don't even have it.
Well, you have more than $536.
I will have the rent from the upstairs of Mother's house. Now, that's $45 a month she gets.
Mm-hmm.
She started it in February, so 6 months at $45, I figured, is $270.
Mm-hmm.
Multiplied right, which makes $806 all told.
Well, you're getting the $200 for the story he sold.
Well, I really don't feel I should take it under the circumstances.
Nonsense. Now, add it on there. That's $1,000 right there.
I sold Myra that old bookcase in the basement I didn't want. She gave me $10 for
that. Every little bit helps.
I've got about $40-some put away in these books from various things that I've saved.
Oh, my goodness, you still have at least 2 months more to figure out the other $500.
Yeah, well, I need clothes, too, Aunt Effie. And I'd like to buy some things while I'm in Europe. I'll probably never go again.
Well, it does seem to me it's just terrible that companies send men off to Europe on business trips and don't include the wife on the expenses.
They don't, so let me see.
I was talking to your friend Rogers downtown today. I ran into her, and we were talking about it. And she said she thought it was terrible, too, especially when companies waste money sending the men first class. They could just as well put that money toward the wife going along. And I said...
Wait a minute. First class?
Yes.
Yes, they do, don't they? Well, why didn't I think of that, dear?
What did I say?
Dear, listen.
Listen. Here, now, how does this sound? Well, to whom it may concern.
Never mind that. I just got a brilliant idea about something else.
Look, wanted me to write this letter. Now, at least listen to it, will you? I spent an hour recommending my nephew for a job. A favor for which he will probably repay me by absconding with a petty cash.
Don't be silly, Buddy. Wouldn't do a thing like that.
No, I should say not. You should be ashamed saying such a thing.
All right. I'll be ashamed. I said he was honest and reliable and should be an asset to any company.
Is that all you said?
Well, that's the gist of it. A couple more lines.
I don't think that means a thing.
Why, no. He's your own nephew. I think you should rave about him a little bit.
Rave about him? I feel guilty even saying he's honest and reliable.
Why?
Oh, really?
I'm sure whatever his faults, Buddy has never been dishonest.
Well, all right, maybe not, but he is certainly unreliable. His own mother can't depend on him for a thing. Mm-hmm. That guy is scatterbrained, he's irresponsible, thoughtless.
Honey, he's your own nephew.
I know that, and that makes it worse. How do you think I feel signing my name to a letter recommending a kid that'll probably be fired after the first day? He can't keep his mind on one subject longer than 2 minutes.
I know. As Aunt Effie says, a lot of it's Dorothy's fault, I think.
I can't say that in the letter. I can't say this nephew of mine has been spoiled unmercifully by his mother, which is why he's a pain in the neck, but I wish you'd give him a job because
he's... Oh, don't be silly, honey.
Well, sometimes I think letters of recommendation ought to be more like that. As it is, they don't mean a darn thing. They're all full of praise written by some relative or close friend of the applicant, so naturally they're going to say something nice and...
Well, for heaven's sakes, you wouldn't give somebody for a reference who didn't like you.
That's what I mean. There's no true indication. You know, I've often thought I'd like to see a letter that said, this guy is always late to work, he drinks like a fish, he spends every dime on the horses, but you'll never be sorry you hired him.
Really?
Oh, he's only joking, Aunt Effie.
Well, you'll admit it would be a novel thing. All right. I'll see if I can't butter up this letter about Buddy a little bit more.
I would, dear.
I must say, he must take after his dad's side of the family. Nobody in our family was ever so scatterbrained.
Well, fine. I don't think it'll hurt you to be a little bit nicer, dear. Rave about him, you know.
I thought you were going to say something, dear.
About Buddy?
No. You just jumped up and came flying in here to see...
Yes, listen. When you get your traveling expenses paid by your company, do you get the best? I mean, first class?
Oh, sure. Always do.
But Aunt Effie and I were planning on going cabin class. I mean, we can't afford to go first class. Can't afford to go at all yet. But, I mean, if I do, I certainly can't pay first class.
You mean we won't be traveling together? He won't be with us?
I see what you... Oh, no. I don't have to go first class, if that's what you mean. I can go any way I want to.
Now, listen. This is my point.
I hear Bobby,
all right, I know. He's probably hungry. He didn't eat his dinner. I'll go up in a minute. But
I'll go up here. He may need to be changed.
All right, Aunt Effie. Thank you. Listen, if your company gives you the money to go first class, but you don't go first class, you go second class on the boat, and instead of staying at luxury hotels, you stay at more inexpensive ones with us, then why can't I have the difference?
What? I don't know what you're talking about.
The company pays for you to have the best, but you don't spend all that money. Why can't I have the money you save? The difference between you going first class and second class.
I see. No, dear, no.
Why? The company would spend it any way they're willing to. Surely they wouldn't object to you traveling in less luxury and giving me the difference.
Well,
why not?
I don't know. They just don't do that, that's all. I mean, it is not
you could ask Mr. Cranch if he would.
But couldn't you? Why not?
Well, because I don't know why not, but it just isn't done. I mean, I never heard of anybody doing it.
Look, you could ask anyhow. It wouldn't hurt to ask.
Taking a bath?
Oh my gosh, yes, I started the tub an hour ago. I forgot.
It's out into the hall and running down the stairs.
Oh.
Running down the stairs?
We'll return to the couple next door in just a moment. You know, it's a simple fact that 70% of all mentally ill can be helped to find the way back to normal life. But, and it's a big but, we're not realizing that goal. The reason? It takes more trained doctors and nurses, more facilities and equipment than there are. That's a terrible truth, especially if yours is a family compelled to face it personally. But help is within reach. Money can buy it. We all must help through generous contributions to our local mental health association or to Mental Health in care of your post office. Give when a mental health bell ringer comes to your door or to Mental Health care of your post office. Make it soon so all 70% may be helped. Make it soon so that new hospitals, new clinics, trained doctors, nurses, and technicians can be rushed into this vital battle for the mental health of the nation. The address again is Mental Health, care of your post office, or your own front door when a mental health bell ringer arrives.
More claws, more claws.
Oh, get them yourself in the hall closet where I keep the vacuum. I'm busy mopping the stairs. The carpet is soaked.
Here, more claws.
Oh, yes, thanks.
Did you turn off the bathtub?
Oh, yes, of course.
Oh, gee, what's going on?
And after you get the pile of newspapers in our room and put them on the bathroom floor, maybe it'll soak some of the water up.
Why are you all running around barefoot?
The tub ran over. Now go back to bed, Betsy. Don't get in the way, dear.
Really? Forget it.
Now go back to bed, will you? You heard your mother.
Well, who let the tub run over?
I did. Now get back to bed. No, don't go to bed. Get downstairs and get Bobby's bottle. I can't stand her crying.
I'll get my feet all wet.
Get the bottle.
I don't understand it. Doesn't the tub have an overflow thing?
Yes, but not when you turn it on full blast.
No, I did not have it on full blast.
Well, all I can say is I don't think your nephew Buddy is the only one in the family who is scatterbrained.
No, I
Look,
don't either.
I only came downstairs for a minute. You're the one who...
Honey, never mind who did what. Let's just get the water mopped up and be thankful it didn't go through the ceiling.
Gee, you all look so funny barefooted.
Look, get the baby's bottle,
here,
will
give
you?
Give me another
Couple Next Door is written by Peg Lynch and stars Peg Lynch and Alan Bunce, with Margaret Hamilton, Francie Myers, and Madeline Pierce, and is produced by Walter Hart.